helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichert, National Director for Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And my guest with us is fourth-year medical student Crystal Rawls. Crystal, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Crystal, let me introduce you to our audience, those who will be listening and watching. Crystal is a fourth-year medical student at LMU, which is Lincoln Memorial University College of Osteopathic Medicine. Has a growing interest in neurology and the intersection of faith and clinical medicine. Crystal's experiences in global health, psychiatry, and neurology have shaped her reflection on suffering, chronic illness, and spiritual formation that often occurs in seasons without easy resolution. And you've taken to writing, and we want to talk a little bit about the writing and the devotions that reflect that. Let me just say, Crystal hopes to practice medicine in a way that honors both the complexity of the human body and the dignity of the human soul. And we are getting close, Crystal, for match day. You've done your ranking, and now we just wait to see where the Lord will put you. So this is an exciting time for you. Obviously, some maybe a little low-grade anxiety, but I'm excited that you're on this podcast, and we look forward to having you share your story.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. Very, very nerve-wracking, but everything is in God's hands. So,
amen to that. Yeah. Well, you know, we have many different guests on this podcast, Crystal. Thought leaders, those, you know, with experiences in various fields and on subject matter experts as they are. We also like to tell stories. We like to hear and kind of open up a window into people's lives and just hear about their journey. And particularly, it's interesting to talk to medical and dental students like yourself who have a unique journey to having gotten to the place that you are today. And it's encouraging as most of our audience, our trainees, students, and residents, although more and more attendings are listening, to hear how God has been working in and through your life. And so that's kind of what we want to get at the heart of. Let's start from the beginning, the genesis. So how did you get this sense of calling to go into medicine? What started that?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I'm a fourth-year medical student. And then also, like you mentioned, have had interest in neurology. And that's been deeply shaped by other things as well, other interests, psychiatry, global health, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. What initially drew me to medicine was the complexity of the human body. I've always been fascinated by disease, specifically how different neurologic conditions manifest and how they alter different layers of a person. But as I've progressed in my training, I've realized that medicine isn't just pathology. Mm-hmm. It's about how people live inside their bodies when those bodies start to change. Mm-hmm. And so medicine for me has shifted from being primarily about solving pathology to understanding lived experience and really viewing medicine through that lens of human experience. Mm-hmm. And just for background sake, you mentioned the writing. Writing has always been an outlet for me. I like to challenge myself across different platforms and different outlets. So writing for children. I do a lot of book reviews, peer-reviewed articles, and devotionals, just different audiences. And in many ways, I've really tracked my own formation through those writings. And so it's really been interesting to see how my focus has shifted over time from primarily science, more career focused, to being far more attentive to spiritual formation and the human experience of illness. And that has really shifted a great deal due to my own spiritual walk and the ways that medical training has really stretched that through the clinical setting. But I have many stories, like you said, story sharing. I've got many stories to share, and I can kind of go into those a little bit later.
Sure. Let's not forget to circle back and talk about those. What your spiritual journey? Talk a little bit about that. When did you become a Christian, a Christ follower?
Yeah. So my entire life, I would be considered one of those people that kind of grew up in church. But honestly, there was a real tension that sharpened for me when I went to the Gambia, which is a small country off the west coast of Africa. I went in April of last year through a medical mission trip through GHO, the Global Health. And so my mindset going into that trip was very much clinically focused. And so I was thinking about what medical care we could provide or that I could provide, what conditions we might treat, what gaps we could help fill in. And I assumed that my role there would primarily be about intervention. And so while everyone else kind of on the trip was preparing through prayer and through fasting, I was going through textbook after textbook after textbook and sharpening up on pharmacology and all the science and, you know, trying to figure out what could I see, how can I help them when I get there. And so just going into it, my preparation was very different. And as the week progressed, something inside me really shifted. So I met children in the Gambia who had almost nothing materialistic, no access in the way that, you know, me and you think about it. And yet they had scripture memorized in a way that really humbled me and really spoke to me. They could quote entire passages and they really spoke about their faith naturally and confidently in, as I mentioned, the Gambia, a country that is approximately 96% Muslim. And so knowing that publicly, these individuals publicly identifying as a Christian could result in rejection from their families, or even violence in many cases in countries like that. And so that really spoke to me and that their faith was not theoretical. It wasn't just a label. There, it cost them something.
Yes.
There was weight to it. And so there I was, a medical student, a girl from America with dust on my Bible. And nothing was inhibiting me from opening it daily. There was no threat. There was no social cost. Just really distraction and complacency is the best way that I can kind of label that. And so that was deeply, deeply eye-opening for me. And it really was a big wake-up call. And it forced me to ask what I actually believed about God's presence in a setting where cure isn't always available. You're really confronted with how much Western medicine assumes intervention is inevitable. But when that assumption is kind of taken away and stripped away, what really remains is presence. Dignity, endurance. And so I realized that my theology only made sense in the context when cure was accessible. And that just was not the case there. So it kind of rattled me and kind of shook me to my core. And so I'm probably going off on a tangent at this point, but to answer your question, that experience exposed how easily we, or at least I, in that case, equated God's nearness with improvement. And that equation doesn't hold globally, or even in many areas of medicine here.
No, there's definitely a limitation of resources. And like you said, there's a real presence ministry too. I know that I've been on many GHO trips, led a bunch, and there was always something very powerful to take the time to. It wasn't about seeing as many patients as you could, because first of all, you can never get through all the very, you know, the many patients crowding clinics to want to be seen. But then secondly, there was something very important about taking the time to pray, to be present, to listen. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they don't have anyone who is willing to listen and take the time and to have that appropriate touch on the shoulder or the hand, mm-hmm. and to be cared for. And so, yeah, there's definitely a lot of difference in terms of expectations when they're set in an expectation in a developing world environment than they are in the United States. How has what you learned in the Gambia translated to your experience now that you've been back in the States? I mean, it can be easy to get that experience and then, you know, life just marches on back at home and studies and all the things. And it can be easy for those things to lose the same impression. How have you been able to take what you experienced there and import it into your day-to-day lived experience here in the States?
Absolutely. Throughout that entire week that I was there, or the 10 days that I was there, I had a lot of deep and intentional conversation with some of the members that were in the group. And I remember on the very last night, one of the guys that I met there kind of was sort of tracking she's got some light bulbs kind of going off on the top of her head. And so a lot of people were pouring into me during that trip. And I remember the very last night that I was on the trip, he asked me, he who I met on the trip, who is now my husband that I married last week. But he asked me, thank you, you know, all of these experiences and all of these kind of light bulb moments that you've had, what are you going to do with them? Are you going to leave them in the Gambia? And once you return to the United States, is it just, oh, that was a fun kind of spiritual moment to see what God can do, but now it's back to reality? And I absolutely refused to let that be the case, because I knew what I had seen, what I had experienced, what I had witnessed. Mm-hmm. And ultimately that kind of led into questions of, who am I? What does my faith look like? I really, when I got back, I stripped everything down and I started back at square one, is kind of what it felt like. And I was like, I need to start at square one because I need to know what I believe in, why I believe in what I believe in, and just kind of start from the ground up, build a solid foundation for myself. And ultimately, as a healthcare provider, in not just saying I am a Christian and I am a doctor, and just having both of those things kind of siloed, but saying I am a Christian that just happens to also be a doctor. Right. And so how can I use this calling in medicine and use that as a vessel to further God's kingdom? And that was just a big kind of mindset frame shift that happened for me. That was the biggest kind of takeaway from that.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment.
Match Day 2026. Go to cmda.org/matchday and get involved.
Oh, that's fantastic. I think beginning to wrestle with and now starting to see it unfold, this idea of integration, of being fully integrated, seeing that, like you said, the primacy of your identity is being a Christian who happens to be a physician. And it's a calling that is such an important calling, and yet it being done in the context of being a Christ follower, I just think it amplifies it in such a dramatic way. I don't know if you use the term so much, but I hear you saying whole person care, you know, really relating to now patients with not just the clinical piece, but it's looking at them as the whole person and all the elements, the emotional, the psychological, the spiritual, and seeing how all those things come together. I imagine writing has been an integral part in helping you cement some of this too, and making sure it doesn't just evaporate like a vapor in your thinking. So what have you been writing about? You've been doing some devotions. How have this mindset shift, this shift in your thinking and approach, how has it been reflecting in some of the things you've been writing? What have you been writing about?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I told my husband, I am a writer. I am an internal processor. Mm-hmm. And so I was a little nervous even going into this podcast because I know and I realize that I'm not the greatest speaker kind of in the moment, but I can sit down and I can reflect and I can take my time and kind of really flesh out my my thoughts. But as I mentioned earlier, over time, the biggest kind of difference that I've noticed is, one, the content of the things that I have been writing, and two is the kind of the intention behind it, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Initially, I was writing, I was like, let me get into labs. I did a lot of, I've done a lot of research, even at like Vanderbilt, I've done like epilepsy research. And I was always, I remember every single summer, I was like, I'm going to be there 12, 13 hours a day. Let me crank out as much data as I possibly can. Let me write. Let me try to get as many published things under my belt for the sake of me, for the sake of my career, for the sake of my reputation. And in that way, the patients will come to me, I guess, in essence, in that way. And I'll be able to help people more based on how many bullet points I have under my name was my mindset. And now I have my own devotional. I'm writing two journals like Intima. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Intima. It's more of like a medical humanities reflections and things like that. I'm writing to the Christian Journal for Global Health. And again, it's more reflection based of my experiences, both inside the clinical setting and outside of the clinical setting, and kind of truly what it means to be a Christian in medicine. Because I feel like there are a lot of people that would label themselves as Christian, but when it comes to their career and their faith, it almost feels like they have to be siloed and they have to be separate. And my biggest thing is I really want to show people that, no, it doesn't have to be that way. Yeah. And actually, they complement each other very well.
Oh, very much so. I mean, one of the major pieces of CMDA in terms of our DNA and what we seek to help and encourage and be a guide in regards to is for an individual like yourself connecting your faith and healthcare. Connecting those so they're not in separate orbits, that they're fully integrated, that there's unity and consistency and I think even greater power than siloing, you know, medicine in its own compartment away from faith. First of all, I don't think any vocation or profession is to be lived that way as a Christian. I think no matter if you're a physician, a lawyer, a businessman, whatever, business person, whatever that is, yeah, integration is key, but even more so, I think the importance of that within healthcare, because you are you're bringing, you know, it allows you to bring your whole self to the clinic. It you know, and that means your faith too, and however that may show up, but it's very necessary. What are some of the themes that keep surfacing as you began writing? I'd be curious to explore that a little bit more.
Yeah, so one of the bigger themes that it's more of like the more I think, it just kind of takes me in that direction naturally. Mm-hmm. And so that would be kind of the distinction between a cure and healing. And I think that is such an important concept for healthcare students. Yes.
Can you unpack that before you move on from that? Unpack the difference, or what do you see is the delineation between those two?
Yeah, so this theme, or even if you want to frame it as a question, is one that I've grappled with a lot over the past year. Mm-hmm. And so the distinction is so important, because if medical students or really anyone training to be a healthcare provider of any capacity equate healing strictly with cure, then we fall captive to inevitably internalizing failure when patients don't improve. Mm. And so biblically speaking, for example, when Paul pleads three times for that thorn to be removed, what was the response to him? Mm. My grace is sufficient. And so the answer for him was not a cure. Mm. In fact, the answer for him was presence. Mm. And so that can be a very tough pill for some to swallow. It definitely was for me. And so that verse doesn't really welcome a whole lot of quick comfort. You know, it's not a feel good verse to take in and to really soak in and internalize, but it is meant to reorient us slowly but surely. Mm. And ultimately, what we are able to come to realize is that God's nearness does not wait on improvement. Mm. And so I think that my confusion and my frustration with this surfaced very early on during my time in the Gambia, for example. I know that I just kind of mentioned that. And actually, on my very first day in the clinic there, I started getting very overwhelmed by the sheer number of people lined up needing medical attention. Mothers with malnourished babies, children wheezing with asthma, tumors that we knew we would not be able to surgically remove. We didn't have any surgeons in our team. And so I started to feel almost hopeless, realizing that, one, we would not get to everyone, and two, even the care that we were able to give would be somewhat temporary. And so I vividly remember, because I broke down in tears and kind of caused a scene a little bit, but I vividly remember thinking to myself, what are we really doing? What are we really offering? And so I did a lot of reflecting, a lot of praying during that time. And so if it's okay with you, I've kind of have a little excerpt here from my time during that, you know, during that time of reflection that I'd like to share with you and some of your listeners as well.
Yes.
It was a time of great kind of battling in my head. And so I think if there's anyone going through something similar, hopefully that this will resonate with them and kind of help them. But let me get that pulled up here. A bit of a longer excerpt, so bear with me.
Sure.
But happy to hear your thoughts after, and hopefully this can help facilitate some good conversation as well. Okay, so I wrote, "It is a strange thing to stand in front of a mother whose baby is dying, to measure malnutrition with a tape and know that the numbers won't change fast enough. Hmm. We couldn't out-resource poverty, and we couldn't out-diagnose death. I could only hold my hands, wipe tears, and pray. That was deeply destabilizing for me. I had been trained to believe that medicine meant intervention, protocol, outcome. But there, under tin roofs and bedside dust-filled roads, I felt the edges of medicine fray. It was only after much prayer and intentional conversations with others on that trip that something shifted. I began to see that medicine was the vessel and not the ultimate answer. The main purpose wasn't simply symptom relief, though that really did matter. It was pointing to Christ. It was offering hope that extended beyond prognosis. I also wrote, I used to think that hope looked like healing, and now I grasp that hope's true form is not always found within the lines of a prognosis. Mm. And that realization reframed everything. Cure is a gift. It is something we pursue with excellence, but hope cannot be reduced to the outcome. Mm. The kingdom of God does not hinge on the success of my interventions. It is easy to love medicine when it works, but what a gift it is to still love it when it doesn't. To stay, to serve, and to remember that the greatest gift I can offer is not a cure, but a savior. Mm. The Gambia broke my heart, But in doing so, it gave me vision, not just for the kind of doctor that I want to be, but for the kind of believer I must become, one who treats with rigor and excellence, yes, but whose faith does not collapse when outcomes don't change. Because in the end, it won't be the stethoscope that saves us. It will be the cross.
Hmm. Amen. I really get the sense you're helping us grapple with developing a theology of suffering, don't you think? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not accustomed to doing much of that here in the States. We try to mitigate suffering as much as possible. We buffer ourselves from it. We do anesthetize ourselves from pain and suffering, whatever we can to minimize it. And yet suffering is a reality of this world and from where most people live. And you know, our Savior is a suffering servant, one who is acquainted with pain and grief, who sympathizes with us in our own weaknesses because he is fully man, fully God, and understands. And suffering is part of the lived experience. But I don't think we think about it enough. And albeit that I know you as a physician now want to alleviate as much suffering as possible, understanding though that the ultimate solution of alleviating suffering and pain is dealing with not just the felt need, but the real need, which is mm-hmm. being reconciled with our loving Heavenly Father through His Son, Jesus. So that's great. That's wonderful. I forgot to ask you this. What specialty are you hoping to match in, by the way?
In neurology.
Okay. Where do you think that'll take you in medicine in terms of as you begin to kind of integrate all these components of suffering and pain and illness with the dignity of the patient and you know, suffering?
Yeah, so initially I wanted to be in a hospital. I wanted to be kind of working myself to death in a sense. And as I've kind of grappled with some of these things, I really want to be in an outpatient kind of a clinic setting. I know that's not very common for neurologists, but thankfully I've met some great outpatient clinic-based neurologists, and just getting to have your patients and getting to follow up with them and just building those relationships with them. And it's not just a one and done in the hospital setting mm-hmm. because you had a stroke or whatever the case may be. I really like the continuity of care, building relationships with these individuals and being able to pour into them in more ways that I would be able to. Not to say that there's anything wrong with, you know, being in the hospital mm-hmm. setting. I've also really thought about teaching as well, whether that is anyone that would have me. I would love to teach a medical humanities course and also neurology courses. Mm. I would love to continue writing. Just whoever will take my writing, I'll always be writing. So yeah, just trying to reach, like I said, different populations, different outlets. Mm-hmm. And you know, if it helps someone, then that's all I could ever ask for.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment.
Join us for the 2026 National Convention VIE Poster Session, April 23rd through 26th in Loveland, Colorado. Enter your educational materials, your innovations, and your research to win. Go to cmda.org/VIE to register now.
Are you ready for the 2026 CMDA National Convention in Loveland, Colorado? Join us April 21st through the 23rd and worship with our returning guests, Shine. Spend quality time fellowshipping with like-minded Christian healthcare professionals from all over the world. Hear invaluable discussions from plenary speakers and breakouts on a huge number of topics facing healthcare today. Take time time in the beautiful surroundings of the Rocky Mountains for personal and spiritual refreshment, and find encouragement for the renewing of your faith. If you haven't registered, now is your last chance to get the best price of the year. Register today at natcon.cmda.org.
Yeah. Well, how has, a little bit maybe of a self-serving question because we're part of CMDA. I mean, I'm curious to know how, if at all, how CMDA has helped you in this journey. I mean, obviously GHO is a part of CMDA, so there was that component of it. I know that we have a fairly active CMDA at LMU. I think Dr. Leah Snodgrass is the campus advisor up there as well, whom you know. How has CMDA kind of helped you in this, as you kind of hit this epiphany, as you've been kind of developing this integrated approach, as you've been thinking about how your faith is lived out in the practice of medicine? How has CMDA played a part in this for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, through GHO, and I would say that that trip to the Gambia really was such a monumental, I consider it a turning point in my life. And so I owe a lot of my, you know, the way that I kind of live out my life. It was the group all, you know, incorporated into CMDA as well. And just getting to follow up with them while I was at LMU during my first 2 years, I honestly was not, I knew that it was there, but I was not entirely sure like what, you know, what they did or, you know, that kind of thing. And so now it has been, let me look into the, they have a great mission. Let me look into this. And I'm subscribed to all of the, I mean, I listen to this podcast and just the realization has been the biggest thing. The realization that there are people like this. There are people, there are, you can be a Christian and a professional and they, you know, it's finding this population of individuals that, you know, it's kind of like a, I kind of feel like I'm in a spy in some sense. And it's like, oh, I've found my people, if that, you know, if that makes sense. So it's just been great to get to network and meet a lot of great people.
The funny you say that too. Crystal, the president-elect, Dr. Kara Brown, said that same thing about CMDA. She said, when I look around, I said, this is my tribe. These are my people. And I think the key is what I think you're getting at too, is the, you know, you're not meant to walk this journey by yourself, to have community of other like-minded men and women who are seeking to live out their faith within healthcare. Connecting those two is such an invaluable thing. And so I encourage you as a future neurologist, we have a community of neurologists that are trying to live this out in their own specialty. Dr. Nicole Baldwin. I don't know if you've met Nicole or know of her. She's somebody I'd introduce you to who's incredible Christ follower who loves the Lord, who is involved heavily in missions as well, near and dear to her heart, but is living out her faith within her specialty. And then, of course, our community at National Convention, which is in Loveland, Colorado, coming up. Well, you know, there's something really cool, as I've been told from these students who, for the first time, seeing that, hey, this ministry is bigger than just my campus chapter. And I'm looking at 1,000-plus Christian healthcare professionals worshiping and praising the Lord. How cool is that? So you've got a lifelong journey with CMDA in that, you know, we're not just in on campus. And I'm kind of preaching to the choir. You probably know this, but those who are listening and watching, that there's a ministry that's going to walk through with you along every step of your journey as a trainee, student, resident, fellow, and as an attending and beyond. So I'm so glad to hear. I need to talk to our director of GHO to just let her know, too, just how meaningful the Gambia trip was. Were you, was Trish Burgess there, Dr. Burgess? Was she on that trip with you, by perchance?
No.
No, she wasn't. Okay. Well, two things. The writing. Thank you for writing. And I want to make sure, we're going to make sure that some of your devotional material is going to be in the show notes too. So we'll need to talk offline, be able to get that. I would love to have your materials, your devotions, to get into as many hands for the sake of being a blessing and an encouragement to others who are going through a similar journey. So we'll do that. We'll make sure that that happens. And then kind of want to leave you with a bit of a last word, Crystal, too. Just if you could summarize kind of what you'd like to say kind of as a parting word to healthcare students, what would that be? What would you want to say to them as we close our conversation?
Yeah, so I think that a lot of medical students, even in residency and training, and even doctors in the healthcare system, a lot of them are kind of walking through illness. They're surrounded by it, either personally, family members, patients, or just burnout. And so I think that this isn't really talked about enough. And so I want them to know that the absence of resolution is not evidence of God's absence. Mm. And if your body hasn't improved, if your patients' bodies have not improved, if your prayers feel repetitive, if your faith feels thinner than it once did, just letting them know that they're not behind, and that they're not being measured against a timeline, and that you are in a space that Scripture has always accounted for. And I've kind of hinted or kind of talked about this a little bit here and there, but I like to call this space the middle space, where it's, you know, we're not constantly in this like illness, but we're also not constantly in this state of miraculous healing. And so this is kind of, we live in the middle, and the middle is not a mistake. And so I also want them to hear that they don't have to carry the weight of outcomes. In medicine specifically, we're trained to feel responsible for our results, and so improvement in that way can almost feel just like validation. And so lack of improvement can feel like failure. But we are not the end all be all. We are stewards. We're not saviors. And in grasping that and internalizing that and really sitting with that, there's actually a deep amount of comfort that comes in that, in realizing that, and that we're not responsible for reversing every disease, and not responsible for controlling every trajectory. And so our calling is faithfulness, to show up and to serve. And like you mentioned, to sit there, to hear them, to be present, to love well, and to treat diligently. And then we can release it, because we are not the ones in control. And because God's sovereignty does not really depend on our stamina or our success rate. And so there's just a lot that we were never meant to carry in the first place. And I think that that is a good a good kind of thing to think through and ponder on, and hopefully find some comfort in as well.
That's a good word. It's a great way to end. Good exclamation point right there at the end. I appreciate those words. And thank you, Crystal. Crystal Rawls, newly married. Crystal Rawls, yes. Fourth-year medical student at LMU, soon to be a future neurologist here. We know Match. I can make this a shameless plug too. You know, Match Day, as it's coming up, we're inviting our students to self-disclose where they're going next so that we can do a handoff. We'd love to be able to match somebody in a new community. And so that information we'll put in the show notes as well. Hopefully that'll this will drop before then. Maybe we'll make that happen as well, to make sure that no matter where you go, any stage of your training or professional career, that knowing that there's a community of healthcare professionals who love Christ that are there and can come alongside and be an encouragement in this journey and this vocation. So thank you again, Crystal, for your faithfulness and to write too. I think that really does extend an impact. They become not just your thoughts, but they become an encouragement. I think God uses them and has been and will continue to use your writing as an encouragement to others. We'll make that available to those listening and watching in the show notes. But Crystal, thank you so much for being a part of this podcast.
Yeah, thank you. This has been great. Thank you for having me.
All right. God bless.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA Student Pulse Podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is nonpartisan and does not endorse candidates or political parties for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.